Amen. Good to be here this morning. I trust you've had a good time in the Lord already. It has been good to be in God's house. Choir, you sang great this morning. Thank you, Brother Ray, for filling in. Be at prayer for Sister Lois as she recovers a little bit. She can get back on her feet. And good to have visitors with us here this morning. Glad that y'all have chosen to come worship with us here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. I hope you have an enjoyable time while we're here. Last week we had the last Tuesday of the month was our printing ministry work night, and we had a good turnout there. Got a lot of scriptures collated, so remember to keep that in prayer in mind. Every Tuesday morning around 8 to 8:30, you meet Brother Carl over there if you're available to work in the printing ministry. And then on the last Tuesday of each month, we have our work night where we are collating, binding, and boxing scriptures, and we had a good turnout, so remember that. And then the ladies' retreat coming up, keep that in mind. See my wife if you're interested in that. That's the 14th of this month. And the 29th, we have our church picnic every year in October, some Saturday during the month, and this time it just happens to be the last Saturday. We'll have our church-wide picnic, and it'll be at Fort Christmas out off of Highway 50 headed toward Titusville. We'll meet there about 11 o'clock in the morning. What we ask is that you bring a dish to share with everybody, a side dish, and then whatever meat you would like to cook, personal meat, you just bring it and cook it there and grill it yourself. We'll have a couple of men gather around the grill if you're not handy with the grill. Sometimes men just like to sit around and just smell the smoke, so they just sit there and act like they know what they're doing around the barbecue, but they really don't. They're just wanting to get the smell on them, so they feel manly there. So y'all be in prayer about that. Set your calendars accordingly. If you've never been to Fort Christmas, you will enjoy it. They have old cracker-style houses. I think they have 9 of them that go in kind of a little bitty circle there, and you visit the different eras. They have a big fort that you can go inside and see the old antique military weapons and stuff there. So it's a really neat time to enjoy yourself there, and you'll have a good time. One other prayer request. Brother Andy Lockhart, many of you know him from Tennessee. He's having some problems, along his wife's having surgery this week as well, but he's having problems today. So be in prayer for Brother Andy. Some stomach thing there, don't know if it's ulcer, appendix, something. So pray for him and help ask the Lord to bless there with Brother Andy during that situation there. And if you are a Georgia fan, we'll pray for you today. If you're a Florida State fan, we'll pray for you. LSU got it right. Maybe y'all need to fire a coach and a coordinator, because we played football yesterday. LSU put it on them. So if you're from Missouri, we'll pray for you. Today, we have with us a missionary, Brother Thomas Green. He'll be showing us what he's doing on the slideshow here, and then he'll preach for us. And we'll have a good time in the Word of God this morning. So, Brother Green, you come on.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here and share this ministry. I did pastor for 14 and a half years, so I understand the importance of getting out on time. And I also understand the importance of thinking on your feet. I heard the story about a lady that went to the store, and she wanted a half a head of lettuce. And so she went to the produce department and said, "I'd like to have a half a head of lettuce." The fellow that was working there said, "Ma'am, we don't sell half heads of lettuce." And she said, "But I want a half head of lettuce." I said, "Ma'am, I'm telling you, that's not how it comes. You can have a whole head of lettuce, but you can't have a half head of lettuce." And she was just adamant. "I want a half a head of lettuce," she said. "In fact, I want you to go tell your manager I want a half head of lettuce." She was pretty upset. And so he started walking toward, he's mad as a hornet could be, I guess. And he's walking toward the manager. He gets up to where the manager's at, and he says, "I'm sorry to bother you." He said, "But this ignorant lady back here, this woman, just hard-headed, ignorant, just out-of-control lady, wants a half-head of lettuce." And he looked around, didn't know, but she was following him. And he looked around and said, "And this dear sweet lady wants the other half." And so, sometimes you have to think on your feet. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30. this morning. I'm going to preach a message you probably have never heard preached out of the Bible, but it's in the Bible, and you'll see it there. There's no new truth, and sometimes we can package it a little different, but there's no new truth. How many glad we have the Word of God? Amen?
Amen.
And I've been on vacation here several times when I pastored, and I've seen this church grow, and I praise God for it. This is great, and I think that's wonderful. I don't have time to tell you a crazy story that happened. It didn't have anything to do with you, but it had to. I'm going to tell you anyway. We came here on vacation. We came on a Sunday morning. I said, we're going back Sunday night. I don't think Preacher was here that day. I think he was on vacation. What do people in Florida, where do they go for vacation? I don't know. But anyway, so I think he was gone, and it rained that day really bad. And I ran out of the car, and my kids, we ran out of the car, and we came in, and it was wet. And my wife, she doesn't run. She hasn't run in 20 years. So she just doesn't run. So she walked through that rain, came in here, and she looked like a wet rat. It was great. And then it was cold. The air conditioning was on. And so she didn't get anything out of service, but I did. It was very entertaining. But that's my remembrance of being here. I've enjoyed it several times I've been here. In Proverbs chapter number 30, there's a story here about some small creatures. In fact, these creatures tell us and give us lessons. You find one here in Proverbs chapter number 30, and we'll read the passage, but we're going to focus our attention on verse number 28. If you're able to this morning, would you stand with me out of the respect of the Word of God, and let's read Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse number 24, down through verse number 28. If you're in Proverbs 30, verse 24, would you say amen?
Amen.
There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. Verse 28, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. I want you to think about that passage of scripture, that verse number 28, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Can we all agree that's in the Bible? I'm going to talk to you this morning about the real Spider-Man. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd please help us to understand this truth today. I thank you for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit behind this sacred desk that's not mine, and I appreciate so very much the opportunity. Lord, I pray that you'd use me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Cleanse me of sin and selfishness and things I may have said or thought already today that have hindered your work in my life. And I'm sorry for that. God, I pray that you'd use this meeting in a very special way. By that, we're asking you to speak to every heart. Lord, I don't believe a great meeting is when there's a great crowd, although there's a great crowd standing in front of me. I believe a great meeting is when you speak to our hearts. That's a great meeting. I pray you'd do that today. Lead and guide. Our country's in a mess, Lord. We need your help. God, I pray that you'd help each Christian to say, I may not see a collective revival. We may, but help us to have individual revivals, which I no doubt will result in a collective revival. Lead us, I do pray. Guide us by thy Holy Spirit. Bless my wife and children. I miss them today. I pray you'd be a buckler and a shield and a high tower and a pavilion to them and guard them. Keep them under the shadow of the Almighty today. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. May be seated. The spider has become a household, the Spider-Man has become a household character. He originated in 1962 in the Marvel comic books that were written by Stan Lee. It's the story of Peter Parker, that average teenager who was being raised by his Aunt May and his Uncle Ben. And when Peter Parker was bitten by a radioactive super spider at a science exhibit, he acquires a strange agility, a proportionate strength of a spider. And so he becomes and takes on the characteristics of a spider, climbing walls and shooting webs and so on. And so that's kind of what the Spider-Man is all about. And there are some similarities. In fact, some people have abilities that you wouldn't think have those kind of abilities. But in 1981, there was a skyscraper safety activist. His name was Dan Goodwin. He was wearing a Spider-Man suit, and he decided he was going to climb the Sears Tower in Chicago, the Hancock Center in Chicago, and the Renaissance Tower in Dallas, Texas. True story. There was a man in Thailand who, by himself, without any ropes, climbed up a building and rescued an 8-year-old boy who has autism and kept him from falling to his death. Strange, isn't it? We often ignore the ugly things in life because we don't think we can learn from them. But there are some lessons to be learned from the spider. Now, I'm just going to tell you straight up, I hate spiders. Can you say amen? I don't like spiders. I was sitting in a place, we were in a beautiful place in Missouri, and we were in a prophet's chamber, and they had taken and made it into a beautiful place. And I got up early, and I sat down with my Bible, and I was going to read my Bible. That sounds spiritual, doesn't it? I got up early, I was going to read my Bible. I sat down in this chair, it's a beautiful place, and while I opened my Bible and started reading and kind of thinking about what I was going to do for the day, a huge spider started crawling down my arm. And so obviously, I didn't say, well, good morning, would you like a cup of coffee? We had a fight and I won. Say amen. And I don't like spiders. How many are with me? You just don't like spiders. Well, you know, spiders have their place, just not around me. Amen. But it's the little things in this passage of Scripture, the small things that teach us great lessons. I want to focus on that spider. Think about this spider. Let's sit in class just for a few moments and learn something about the spider. Let me give you some descriptions. First of all, some people think, well, it's an insect, but it's not an insect. And most insects have 3 parts and 6 legs, but the spider is arachnids. They have 2 body parts and 8 legs. They have a strange exoskeleton that covers their body. And on the outside of that, they have these little creepy hairs that they can feel and sense things. Anybody kind of scratching their leg already? You get nervous about this? So web builders have a different kind of claws on their legs. They have 3 claws. The ones that are not leg web builders, they have 2 claws. There's about 35,000 different species of spiders with 70 different kinds or families that we know of. God is an amazing creator God. Amen? All this can be said about the spiders. They travel. Many of them travel on foot, but some of the small spiders that are web building spiders, they will throw a web into the air and they'll catch the air and they'll blow away. And that's how they travel. Some spiders eat each other. They're traitors. I want you to get just in your mind for a moment what we're talking about. And let me give you some general observations before I become very specific. These spiders set traps for flies, and it reminds us, watch this now, reminds us of Satan's wiles. I want to tell you something. The devil is a villain. And my friends, I want to tell you, the devil has not stopped and has no new plan. He has not stopped what he's done from the beginning of time. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a thief. And the spider reminds us of that. When a bug is caught in its web, it reminds us of us being caught in our sin and trapped in our sin. And that little bit of silk, you think, well, I can handle that. And I don't have to worry about somebody or getting caught or, you know, I can control it. And the truth of the matter is, most of the time, sin ends up controlling us. And so, the spider reminds us of this. Think about the amazing ability the spider has and how that he can mathematically put together that beautiful web and how amazing that is. That little tiny arachnid, you have this amazing ability. But you know what? That whole ability is for one thing. To capture bugs and kill them. You know, I have seen people that are brilliant. I've seen lost people that are educated and articulate, and they have lots of things going for them. They have money in their pocket. They have nice houses, and they drive nice cars. But the truth of the matter is, lost people have one purpose, and that's self. Now, you know that's true. A saved person ought not ever act like a lost person. Amen. We're supposed to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. As I thought about this spider, I thought about, first of all, his sinister deed. His sinister deeds. You know, even from an infant, the strongest spiders in that little cocoon or that little silk egg sac, the strongest of them will eat the weaker ones in that little egg sac, and they'll depart, leaving shambles of body parts in that little egg sac.
This world, this spider is the world's master murderer. I want you to hear this. He spins a web and it looks beautiful. He can stay on that web and stay there for a long time, and he'd be very, very patient. And as soon as something hits that web, he can tell the distance, he can tell the direction, he can tell the size of its future victim. And so it delicately walks across the spider webs that it has not placed its the sticky part of that web on. And he'll walk across that spider web. And when he gets there, he'll begin to wrap his victim up. And if it's out of control and it's too much for that spider, he'll wait until that bug wears itself out. Eventually, he'll walk up to that bug, and then he'll put his fangs into that bug and spew venom into that bug, leaving that bug to die in what we would call bug soup. He'll come back a little later with a straw and some French fries, and I'm just kidding you, but that's what he does. My friends, he is the world's master murderer. He's a villain. You know, I think about that and we shriek in horror. Some of you are scratching your legs and scratching your arms right now thinking about spiders. You're looking around, maybe there's a spider in here. But let me tell you something. I've found that human beings are not much different from that. We're selfish in and of ourselves. We're sinful. We're angry creatures. And when left alone without God, we'll end up destroying ourselves. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 3, would you please? And in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, I want to quickly read this to you. The Bible says, and Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he says, under inspiration of the Spirit of God, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse number 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Think about that. The Bible says God looks at us when we're lost. Our mouths are just like graveyards. He goes on to say, with their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. The destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. My friends, that is a great description of the generation we're living in today. We're living in a day and age where people just do whatever they want and say whatever they want with no regard for God. But I want you to know, saved or lost, someday you're going to die. If you're saved, you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and we'll give an account for our works, not our sin. Praise God. But if you're lost, you will give an account before Almighty God. Would you listen, please? At the place called the Great White Throne Judgment. And the Bible says books will be opened and all of your deeds, good and evil, will be reported in front of everyone. And my dear friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you'll be cast in the lake of fire. Amen. Now that's awful to think about. But that is the result of sin. That is the result and the final product. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And that's exactly what that sinister spider does. That's exactly the deeds of the spider. He's just for himself. No matter how beautiful, no matter how wonderful his beautiful web may be and nice, and no matter how talented that spider may be as that small little creature, all he's doing is doing things for himself. My dear friend, can I say to you, not only do I see the sinister deeds, I want to say this to you. I see the subtle deceit of the spider. Now let me explain something to you. I mentioned to you how talented he was. How many of you guys remember Charlotte's Web? Now that wasn't true, at least the pig part. But anyway, the point is this. Think about how talented those little creatures are. He can weave between just about any two points. He can walk upside down. He can maneuver over small little objects. He can be patient and wait until it's time for him to capture. What talent he has, what ability. But I said to you just a moment ago, it's all for himself. And I want you to know that you can put a lost person, you can put a suit on them, you can give them an education, you can give them a degree, but if they don't know Christ as their Savior, everything they do is for self. Everything. Everything is for self. You see, that's the difference between a saved person and a lost person. A saved person, everything we do is for the glory of God. At least it ought to be. It ought to be. You get out of bed this morning. for the glory of God. God has a work for you. There's something for you to do. You put your money in the offering plate as the tithes go by for the glory of God. There's something God wanted you to do financially to glorify Him. You go out and knock on doors. You give out tracts. You tell people about Christ. You run the buses. You go to Sunday school. All of that is for the glory of God, so that God can take our lives and make something special out of it instead of us trying to do something in our own self. My friends, let me remind you of something. The subtle deception of sin and the subtle deception of being lost, it is, well, you're trying to, listen, we live in a day and age where people try to make this place a better world from which to go to hell from. And we give all kinds of time to everything that doesn't even matter. What about what the Lord wants for our lives? This is so important. Your life counts and it matters. And you only have one shot at it. Your life is not a video game. You don't get three tries at this. Amen. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'm glad I'm saved. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Do you realize you're lost and hell-bound? And you come to Christ and you turn from everything to Him and say, my church won't save me. My mother's The church attendance won't save me. My daddy's church attendance won't save me. I must have Christ as my Savior. Have you done that? Have you come to Him? If you've come to Him, friends, your life is different. And I want to get to the point of this passage of Scripture because I want you to see what I was thinking about when I saw this passage of Scripture. I believe the Lord spoke to me about. But first, I'm going to tell you a quick story. Speaking about selfishness, I heard the story about two friends that went to a restaurant. They both requested fish, and it wasn't long until the waiter came out with a platter, and there was a big piece of fish there, and there was a smaller piece of fish there. One of the guys grabbed the plate, and he began to serve his friend, and he took the smallest one and handed it to his friend, put it on the plate, and handed it to his friend. Well, his friend said, "You got a lot of nerve." He said, "What's your trouble? Why are you upset with me? What's the problem?" He said, you know what the problem is." He said, "What is the problem?" He said, "Well, if it had been me serving, I would have given you the bigger piece, and I would have kept the smaller piece." He said, "Well, I figured you was going to do that, so I just saved you the trouble." Isn't that the way most people live? Bigger things for me. Let me get to this surprising destination. Let me say this. It is a surprising destination. Now, spiders can be found anywhere. That's not a big surprise. You can go into the cleanest hospital today and you'll find a spider. You can go to the nicest houses and you'll find a spider. You'll find spiders everywhere. Isn't that true? So that's not really a surprising destination. But I want you to see the way it's written here. Go back to Proverbs chapter number 30, would you please? And notice it says, "The spider taketh hold," verse 28, "with his hands and is in the king's palaces." Here's the point of the passage. The point of the passage is this. Watch this now. Nature's villain. The spider is nature's villain. He is a murderer. He has one purpose. It is a selfish purpose. No matter how beautiful he may be or how talented he is, he has one purpose. And watch this. And yet he ends up in the king's palace. My friends, that reminds me of salvation. You see, I was lost and hell-bound. I was the villain. I had broken God's laws. I had disobeyed the Lord. It was me that did wrong. I'm the one who deserves hell. But yet, thank God, through the blood of Jesus Christ and the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, someday I get to be in the king's palace. That's what he's saying here. Oh, that villain who doesn't deserve it. That villain who should never be there. Are you listening today? That's you, by the way. All of us deserve to be in hell, but thank God Jesus came. Amen. Thank God this morning we can say that one day we're not because of who we are and not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did. We'll be in the king's palace someday. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Thank God for the privilege of being in the king's palace. Amen. Amen. Enough to make a Presbyterian say amen. Amen. See, Romans chapter 5. You know, one of the hardest things, preacher, I don't know when you were on deputation, that I drive alone, and I'll drive 14 hours alone. And the devil reminds me of everything I've ever done. Every dumb thing I ever said. I remember things when I was 12 years old that I'd forgotten for 30 years. Don't try to do the math. I'm only 27. I've forgotten about those things. And the devil reminds me. And I want you to know it wasn't God that reminded me, because my sin is cast in the depths of the sea. Hebrews chapter 10 said he remembers to forget our sin. God doesn't accuse us. Thank God once we get saved, all of the accusations are gone. There is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I just quoted the Bible. But the devil's accuser of the brethren. And he reminds me of the things I said and the things I did and where I went and all those kind of things. But I want to say to him this morning, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen, this morning, that heaven is our home if we're saved. And today, if you don't have the assurance that you're going to the King's Palace someday, in just a moment you can come down the aisle and someone can take the Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. That villain is in the King's Palace. It reminds me of my inheritance. Watch this. That little spider's crawling all over the treasure in the King's Palace. Think about it. Oh, I thank God we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything God gave Jesus, he gave to us. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, it says this. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks unto you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge in him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. And here it is. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. My dear friend, this morning I may be wearing an old suit and have old shoes that are wearing out and driving a car from 2008, but you don't see it all. I have a mansion in heaven, and the glory of God is my glory because of what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
Come on, say amen today. Amen. We have an inheritance. Reminds me of my salvation, spider in the King's Palace. And it reminds me of my inheritance, but it also reminds me of this. Watch this. It reminds me of my place of prayer. You see, they may kick that spider out. They may kill all those spiders, but they'll find a way back in. But look, would you look at me just for a moment? I can't get into the King's Palace. I can't get in. I don't have the key. But then one day Jesus said, in Hebrews chapter number 4, in verse number 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What I'm saying is Jesus invites us. So if you're saying this morning that you can't get to heaven, hang on to Jesus. He'll get you there. All I want to tell you this morning is the real Spider-Man is you and me. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to say, I'm pretty surprised that one made it in. And then they're going to look at you and say, I'm pretty surprised they made it in. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Thank God it's not based upon my merit. It's based upon His merit.
Amen.
And what He did for us. I tell you this story, and I finish with this. I'm not going to finish with this one. I'm going to finish with that. I had the privilege of going to Texas 2 weeks ago. I preached in a prison. 177 men. I asked the chaplain. He's an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. Happens to be the chaplain. And so I asked. He said, I want you to come to my missions conference and I want you to preach in the prison on Thursday. I said, all right, I'll do it. And I was a little bit nervous. I walked in and they all looked like my family, so I felt comfortable. But anyway, so I got in there and I asked him. I said, preacher, I said, what kind of people are here? What's going on? Why are they here? And some of them are really open with what they've done and things like that. And he said, these are guys that have committed federal crimes and they're second offenders. He said, you're going to stand in front of murderers, extortioners, rapists, anything you could imagine. Horrible, horrible things. Anything you could imagine. They're sitting there. I said, oh, great. I'm from Oak Ridge, Tennessee. You don't even hardly hear the sirens that are, you know, going by or anything. I said, okay. So I got up and I preached. And I listened and I watched them. And they sang a song. They sang Amazing Grace. You guys know that song, don't you? But they didn't sing it like us. They sang sang it like this.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
And I don't really care for that in church, just to be honest with you. But I got to thinking, do you know why they sang that way? And do you know why some in here sing it the other way? I think it's because those men in prison have experienced amazing grace. That's why they sing it. You see, when something means something to you, you're passionate. My brother over here was talking about, we were talking about football. He's passionate. Passionate enough to call me down in church. Passionate, right? Why can't I be passionate about Jesus like that? I looked out there and you know what I saw? 177 spiders. Villains and victims. People who should be in hell. Excuse the expression. Come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. And yet every one of them got saved. By the way, there's seven of them got saved that night. Every one of them got saved will be in the king's palace. Ooh, what a Savior. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the truth of this little passage of Scripture. Reminding us we're just old sinners saved by grace. Thank you, dear God, that one day we'll be in your presence. We're with you now. We know that you're with you. Never leave us. But one day we will see you face to face. God, I thank you for this truth. Thank you for reminding us again this morning about what you've done for us. Lord, I believe there's enough gospel message in this sermon today that if someone wanted to get saved, they could. Father, I pray you'd save the lost. And those of us who are saved, who may think we're a little better than somebody, forgive us, Lord. Help us to realize we're just like that old spider in the king's palace. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve your salvation.
Amen. It has been good to be in God's house today. Thank you, Brother Green, for the message. We appreciate the honesty of the Word of God. Just preach like we are, like we need it. Not covered up, not coated up. It's just exactly what it is. Sin is a problem. Jesus is the answer. And we're all deplorable in a basket. Prayer 31. It's coming. It's over here. We got about 25, 30 left of this. It's a daily journal for prayer throughout the month of October. Just understand we're only on day two because the devil's already told you, I missed it. No, you didn't. If you can't, you back up, pray for day one right now, this afternoon, and then catch day two before you go to bed, and you're on day three tomorrow. They're right up here. We ordered about 75 of these, and I see about 30 of them left, so we need to get these out. And you say, well, I can't. I've already got one, but I got a neighborhood one. If they're there, first come, first serve. Take them and pray. We need you to pray with us about this. Prayer 31, it's coming. Don't forget this evening, 5:30, see Brother Chris here at the church. You have a meeting if you want to be part of the float. That means if you want to help work on it, be on it, pray on it, think about on it, be here at 5:30, see Brother Chris. Any of the above there, okay? Look forward to seeing you back here. Choir practice, 6 o'clock for the youth and the teenagers. No youth choir. Daniel, is that right? Youth choir? Today. Youth choir today. And children's choir at 6 o'clock. Prayer time, 6 o'clock over here for the rest of us. And then adult choir after church, right? Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Bless, Lord, as we go our way. Help us to be the lighthouse of our community because you are the light of the world. And if we're saved, that light, Jesus Christ, lives within us, the hope of glory. Help us, Lord, to make a difference in our community. Thank you for the word we heard this morning. May it find lodging in our hearts and help us to be more Christ-like in our daily living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.